Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here is your host of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Let's start recording. It'd be great.
We are recording.
Yeah, let's record.
We're live.
We
are
recording.
Cool.
Oh, good. All right.
Let's do a little bio.
Okay. So look.
Yes.
All right. A little bio. Okay. We'll do that. And we'll get
yeah,
back to
I want to. I want to get. Okay. So the thing is, one of the things I love
that
for
Panorex in the background. That's pretty slick, dude.
Oh, that was this morning.
Really?
How does he see it?
That's you?
That was me. It was pretty funny. So I was trying to Instagram live this surgery, and it was like taking out like 8 teeth and putting 5 implants in for a locator on the upper. And I was like, I had my assistant kind of mounted on the light or whatever, so where it would like just kind of stay right over her mouth so I could do the surgery. So we did it, and she would get me these comments that were like, gross, nasty. And I was like, that's so weird. Why would we be getting those comments? I mean, it's surgery, but like, that's what people are following this for. So I like, she takes a break to go to the bathroom, the patient does. And so I get the thing down. She's been putting it on my personal Instagram.
Oh my God.
So
not the same
like,
thing. I have a personal and a business.
Yeah. So I was like, don't tell her what people are seeing.
Yeah.
Me doing this, flapping this, filleting this lady open.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it's funny.
Anywho. Hey, man, where'd you just get back from vacation?
South Africa.
It looked incredible.
Dude.
When I grow up one day, I want to be Sully Sullivan vacationing South Africa.
It was fun, man. Yeah. And then what's funny is I get back and Payman's like, dude, there's this badass. Who's the guy?
Howie. I told him, do you know Howie Glockman?
Yeah.
So I told him, like, dude, like, did you go see him?
I wish I'd known. I would have gone and got a little write-off. Like, just popped
he's like
in.
One of the best implantologists.
You know, he's legit. Such a nice surgery. I mean, he does such nice surgeries and video cast it. I'd love to go to Cape Town one day and watch.
I could move there tomorrow. Everybody speaks English. You know,
hey, he's been in New Orleans about a year ago. He came and gave a lecture at a local meeting. I have some of his work, some of his like extraction and, you know, leaving the buccal root in, and it's unbelievable. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's one of those that is not as scared of anything. He does it, and I feel like he's so out there, and his surgeries, like the way he explains and teaches while he's doing the surgery, like 10-minute, 15-minute videos are incredible. I watched him through Dental XP. That's how I kind of got to know him, and then I've been following his videos on the academy that he teaches.
I'll share with you guys in Dropbox some of his stuff. It really is impressive.
Yes.
Hey, sweet.
I mean, some of your stuff, I mean, don't get me wrong. Right now, I want to tell our audience because of what I've seen. Like, I'm very, very impressed. Like, the way he does these things, and he also does it where Danny videos at the same time with his left hand and the right hand doing the like tension-free closure. And I'm like, how in the world is this guy doing all of this? And then he posts them because he's incredible Instagram. Everybody needs to follow him on Instagram. Implant Diplomat. Is incredible. Some of the things I see. I'm very, very impressed.
Danny, were you like one of the youngest diplomats or something like
yes.
that?
Yes.
Yeah, I was the youngest diplomat of the ABOI.
So tell us your story. Let's start there because it's pretty good little story how you got into this so early and so quick because you're young.
Right out of dental school, instead of going to South Africa on vacation.
Touché.
Living life.
Touché.
Going to big old practice.
How come we don't see you?
Huh?
How come we can't see you?
I know. I don't know why, man. I can't get the video thing to work out. I can see you guys. And it looks like a basement in...
It is a little basement underneath the Sully's house.
This is what happens
house.
When I swear... you got us. We're living... I actually live in my parents' house. I'm a millennial. Mom!
Mom, get out of here. So how did I get started? I graduated dental school and I went straight into a 1-year general practice residency. And
where'd you go to dental school?
LSU. Graduated in 2007. And when I got out... Dude, truth story, I was dating this girl I really didn't want to date, and I had tried to break up with her. It just didn't work out, and I was like, you know, what do I need to do? So I was like, look, let me get into a program out of state. Maybe that'll work and seal the deal. So I got into that was part of the story, but you know, I wasn't ready for private practice. I wasn't ready to get out. I was part of the Katrina class where I was studying for my first implant test. And one of my best friends who's in med school showed up at my house. He's like, man, hey, dude, have you turned on the news on? I was like, absolutely not. I've been studying all day. And it was Saturday. And he was like, we got to get out of here. He said, there's a hurricane coming. I was like, big deal, man. Not a big deal. And so he shows up.
Holy cow.
He shows up. And I said, look, come back, bring a bunch of your stuff. So at like 2 o'clock in the morning, he shows up at my house. And that's when the weather got real bad. And we really knew we had a haul butt. So we jump in my car, leave his car in the driveway, and we start taking off. And we were driving outbound on the interstate, but driving on the inbound lane. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there were so many cars going outside the city, and they wouldn't allow cars back into the city. So everybody was driving on the inbound lane, outbound. So anyway, I left, and then I didn't go to school for 3 months. They shut down the school for 3 months. It took in something like 12 feet of water in the basement because the dental school had a basement.
Holy cow.
This is the fourth year?
This was my third year. This was going into my third year. So then the dental school in – I don't even know how I got it on the subject, but dental school vet school in Baton Rouge opened up, and they allowed us to take classes there. So for 3 months after that, all we just did was all of our schoolwork. And we were done with our classes. And while they were doing that, we had some professors building out a makeshift dental clinic in Baton Rouge for us. So I finished my junior, my senior year in Baton Rouge, graduated actually in New Orleans, and the class right after me went back to New Orleans. So anyway, long story short, when I got out of school, I was like, I've always wanted to do a GPR. I always wanted to get outside the city. You know, I was kind of in a relationship I kind of wanted to get out of. And so applied to a couple programs, had two interviews that I liked, one at Columbia and one at Brookdale Hospital. Went to Brookdale, did a 1 year GPR, liked it a bunch, and then decided to stick around for another 2 years and do an implantology fellowship. It was the first implantology fellowship in the United States. It was actually the program that Dr. Dennis Tarnow did for 1 year, did a GPR there under Norman Cranin. Do y'all know who Norman Cranin is? He's kind of like one of the godfathers of implantology. He's kind of like the Lemmy Linkow. He invented the blade implant.
Wow.
And, he was a program director at the time. And it was a surgical driven residency. There was no oral surgery department. It was a trauma one hospital with no oral surgery department. But they did have, and they didn't even have plastics. So, you know, we would do all the facial lacerations, jaw fractures, all that kind of stuff. It was really a great experience. And then I wanted to move on from there and do my own deal. So started working for, actually, man, when I was in residency, I hadn't prepped on a tooth in about a year and a half or something.
That was my question. How was it pretty much almost like an oral surgery residency type deal?
The first week we got there, they taught us how to do sedation. And they're like, all right, go in the clinic and start sedating and taking out teeth. And that was kind of how it worked out. So it was a lot of shucking teeth, not a lot of endo. No, I mean, if you wanted to filling, we'd be like, why don't you go see it?
Let's just watch it.
So anyway, so I started moonlighting for a couple different dentists from like 6 p.m. to like 9 p.m. at night to try to get my hands back prepping teeth and doing fillings. I thought about going to oral surgery. I thought about going to a prosto after that. But I, at the end of the day, I decided, you know, I love the restorative aspect of implant dentistry and I don't want to give that up. And I really like placing implants. So I just stayed at general dentist, and because of so many hours and so many CE that I took and through the program, I had my focus set on being a diplomat. So I studied, took the exam, and fortunately passed. I thought it was really, really, really hard. I really didn't think I'd passed it.
Now, is that the test that actually is that the written test?
No, if you do a GPR program for years, you kind of like test out of that, and I just had to sit for the orals.
Okay, because normally for our audience, because I want to get everybody excited about AID and the whole ABOI diplomat status, where I want them to, like, pretty much what it takes right now, Danny, and correct me if I'm wrong, they have to have 300 hours of implant CE, correct?
Right, right.
Can you talk a lot better about what are some of the requirements to get that status now, either now or in the future, sometimes throughout this podcast? I'd like to get that requirements for some of these people to know how much it takes to be a diplomat, because, I mean, It's a lot.
Well, do this, Danny. Then talk about how you kind of got involved, or why you saw the need to get involved with like kind of organized dentistry and implant stuff and some of these organizations, and then kind of segue into the different levels that people can get involved and how it works going through to getting more and more, up the ranks,
credentialed.
Right. So when I did the program, I knew I wanted to be affiliated with some institution like the American Academy of Implant Dentistry. There's an AO, there's an AAP, there's so many different organizations out there. At the time, the AAID was the fastest growing organization in the United States and still is today. And they had the best credentialing out of all the organizations for members to be, have the fellowship status or diplomat status. So what I did was I flew to one of their annual meetings in San Diego and sat for 3 days and was blown away at what dentists are doing. There was a guy that was taking calvarium and, grafting in the anterior maxilla and then placing implants and then getting like peaks of papilla and scalp tissue. I was like, man, I need it. I'm not there yet, The question was, why did I become a fellow?
That answered a lot of it was, part of it, why get involved in the first place with these organizations and why do it and why seek out to get credentialed? And well, part of it seems like, for one, is you really realize the amount of education that you can get by being a part of a group of people who are working towards, I've realized that the more time I spend with people who are better than me and talking with me, the better dentist it makes me.
So it was a bunch of like-minded guys that we get together on an annual basis, talk about cases, become friends, and watch what they're doing, see the surgical aspect, and even see the prosthetic aspect. And a lot of times, you get so confident in doing bone grafting in a certain way and with a certain product, and releasing it. And then you go to these meetings and you see, a guy that you've always seen on the lecture circuit, or if you read his book, he's up there on the main podium and he's giving a lecture about how he's doing block grafting and how it's so predictable and how he uses, the products that he uses if he uses PRF. And it's like, well, man, I could do that. I'm one step away from doing that. So it was cool because there was a bunch of like-minded individuals. We get to meet up and share information with one another. And it was a great way to be credentialed. And back in the day, the credentialing really didn't mean much besides a plaque on the wall that, you felt good about yourself, but your patients didn't even know what that meant. They don't know what a fellow is or a diplomat is. Fortunately now, since just recently, I'm sure you guys know that the diplomat actually means something, where in several states you can say that you're a specialist of implant dentistry. You can actually advertise that. You're not a general dentist.
Texas being one of them, right?
Texas, California, Florida, and soon Ohio. And basically the AID just agreed to go from state to state to state, get the laws changed, and that's kind of how it's going to work. So now you can be a specialty within the organization. So the ADA said, we're no longer the licensing body. We're just basically a government institution that's going to regulate. We want the American Board of Dental Specialties, the ABDS, to be the regulation board for all the specialty practices. We recognize the AAID or the ABOI as the governing body for implant dentists. And so now there's besides having like-minded guys or great meetings and organizations, now you can go and be an implant specialist in your state.
That's pretty sweet.
Which is huge.
We've been battling that a lot, talking to people lately about, it seems, especially the younger people graduating now and with cost and that sort of thing, about everybody wants to take online CE, and there's so much good online CE out there too now. It's part of it is you can get really good information via the internet, but I don't think people understand the value of being in a room with other like-minded people who are pushing the envelope. I've really realized that lately, after doing a bunch of CE, how important that is.
Couldn't agree more. I just got back from a course in California this weekend, and it was the Blue Sky Bio Academy meeting. And
how was that, by the way? You talk about that.
Whoever's listening to your podcast, if you're a young dentist getting implant dentistry, you might want to check out Blue Sky Bio Academy on Facebook. It's a Facebook group. Just add it and start checking out their cases. You can also, if you want to, look up implants in black and white. It's not as large as them, but it's mostly just guided, or it's a non-guided surgical website. But Blue Sky Bioacademy had their first annual meeting, and it was all about guided surgery. So it was about everything guided, really. They had a guy named Baron Guter. Have you guys ever heard of this guy? And he showed, digital ortho, where you could basically be your own Invisalign, where you take a intraoral scan or a CT scan of a model of the patient's lower jaw, and then you segment out individual teeth. The software knows how many aligners it needs before you finish the case. Then you just print those out on a 3D printer, and then you do a bunch of suck downs on those teeth, and then you have your own Invisalign for $20.
Wow.
$20.
Yeah.
So he said, a lot. He used to charge, let's say he's charging $2,000. Now he's only charging $1,500 because he's not having his overhead. So now he's getting more patients' acceptance. It takes little to no time. Look, I'm telling you, if you see the expression on my face right now, it literally took him like 10 minutes to do a case, and print out a couple mandibles took like 30 minutes. So those people that are paying $1,600, $1,800 for Invisalign, this costs $20, and it's a do-it-yourself kit. Barron's, I think he's teaching another course in Chicago in November. And it's just like an introductory to he taught how to put TADs or how to put, those little composite spots on. Yeah, bumps, and how to intrude and how to extrude and how to rotate teeth. And if you want to do a little bit more advanced stuff, he introduced that concept. But it was mostly minor tooth movement for minor crowding. Definitely not correcting bite.
And they're doing all this with the Blue Sky software?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, isn't that amazing how much technology?
What printer are they using?
So they advocate three great printers. One is the Form 2. That's probably your cheapest entry point for doing ortho.
I just got it.
Did you really?
Yeah, I bought it, I guess, 3 weeks ago, right before I left. I've only printed a model and a dog.
So you can do your own ortho now. And the other one is a higher price point. It's the Jewel, and it's around $15,000 to $16,000 for that one. The other printer is the Robox. That's, you can't do ortho with that. You can only do surgical guides and print out mandibles and things like that. But Form 2, you can do both. It's just more versatile. And it's a resin based material, and you got to cure it. Have you done any guides on it yet?
No, I want to. I've done, like I said, I printed out a model to do. We're a big CRC office, so I did like anterior crown. So I printed out the prepped model, so I could like seat all the veneers and crowns on, and like stain and glaze them and contour and stuff, which is pretty slick. So I mean, it took no time and super cheap, and I mean, it takes a while to print, obviously, but the accuracy I was blown away with so far.
So think about this. Think about digitally designing a denture, printing out that denture, and then casting that denture in your own material in your office. So you have a patient that comes in, they're in pain. Let's just say that happens today. A patient comes in, they're in pain, they just want all their teeth taken out, and they want to give you $20,000, and they want six implants on the top. You're like, all right.
I'm ready.
Yeah, right. But now you got to take an impression and send that off to the lab to get an immediate denture made. That takes, what, a week, 2 weeks, something like that. So what's coming down the pipeline is, and it's already there, it's just not being taught just yet. What you can do is take an impression or take a scan of that patient's mouth. When the patient leaves, digitally design a denture, print it out on your printer, cast it in an accident with actual denture teeth. Patient comes in the very next day, and the cost is $15 to do something like that. Cast it by yourself in a flask. There's a heat-free flask made by an accident. Patient comes in, take out all of her teeth the very next day. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
Instead of $400 or $500 per arch.
Right. They don't have time to change your mind.
So there's another thing where, like, a patient partially edentulous, and you do a digital wax up. You print out the digital wax up teeth. You can flask those in a lab putty. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head right now. But anyway, you flask it in a lab putty, and the patient comes in, you place implants, and you can immediate load or immediate temporize with that digital design teeth that you just printed out. Isn't that cool, man?
What is the material?
It's crazy.
What's the material?
Acrylic.
Acrylic.
You can't print in acrylic, so you print in either InGen or, I can't remember the other names, PLA, what else? I can't think of the third material. So you can print in those materials, or you can even print in a resin-based material and then just index that and cast it in acrylic. Yeah. And then heat cure it in a pressure pot. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's really, and that's kind of why I went and got one because I knew that was like the wave is moving and I wanted to be on the wave, you know? So I was like, with the night guard material coming out, you know, the potential to do all that stuff, I was like, I want to get on the wave.
And you have a printer too, Danny, right?
Yeah, I have a Robox printer and my uncle has a Robox printer. And we basically just kind of got online and kind of taught ourselves how to do it. Now you can just go to blueskybio.academy and join up and you can just watch the video tutorials and save yourself a bunch of time.
I gotta get into the Blue Sky. I've been spoiled with Sirona just because their software works really well and it's clean and pretty, and so I get a little spoiled, I think.
How much does it cost you to make a surgical guide?
Well, if I'm milling one, it's $60. But see, now I guess the only cost I'm gonna have is exporting my STL file.
$15.
Which is $15, you know, so, and then printing them. And I just need to, you know, and that was one question I wanted to ask you too is, you know, how much guided surgery are you doing these days versus traditional? And where do you, you know, because some people stand on the line of like, they kind of do both. Some people are like traditionalist and they're like, I don't need a guide. And then there's some people who are like, I only do guided surgery, you know, and I don't know. Sometimes I still.
I mean, it's such a controversy that it doesn't, I mean.
It is such a controversy right now.
It's such a controversy.
And people that do guides for every single case. If you don't do guides, they look at you like you have four eyes. They think you're the weirdest, craziest.
And they almost think you're like malpractice, right? Like
exactly. Like- but you know what? I think there's a place for guides. I really do. You know, I've had hard cases where guides, I don't think I could have done the case without a guide. That perfect. But I've had a case that I used a guide on and it totally hurt me. It ruined me. And I had to go back and fix the whole case. But that was part of the learning curve, though. You know, it was a tissue-supported guide on a full edentulous maxilla. It was just a bad. It should have been a bone guide. You know, there's a lot of indications where, you know, you can get yourself in trouble if you don't know the software enough.
Right. I think this is what I would say to that, the Solier. You said, I think the guides for somebody who has not done these surgeries before and the company comes in and is like, oh, if you get the printer and you do this and you can do all these surgeries guided. I don't think the guide is right for them. It's for people who actually done these surgeries. Where even if the guide goes wrong, then you have you can kind of manipulate things in the middle of the surgery. Or, you know,
and a lot of guys that use guides, they basically take a CT scan, they send it to the lab. The lab treatment plans.
Right. Yeah, they're not even treatment planning. That's what's crazy. Is the guy, the lab guy's putting the implant where they want it.
Then they can like go to like View Me or, you know, one of those teleconference things where they just look at it and like, well, does that look good? And it's like, well, I don't know the software. If you say it looks good, I guess it looks good. You
yeah.
guy that makes
and that's
you know,
what's 20, scary.
$20 an hour.
Yeah.
And then he prints out the guide and you just spend $800. And you got this patient that's you know paying you $5,000 to put in their implant in the right direction, and you're relying on a guy that makes $20 an hour. And I might offend some people by saying that, but where I'm going with that is I feel like, and I've tried that before, I've done that, and I'd prefer to work up the case myself. It might take you know, and everybody's like, well, I don't have the time. Man, look at it.
Yeah, get out of here. That's like not that much time. Yeah.
It does not take any time.
No.
You know, the printer just stays in my office. So before I leave, I just send it out. I export it out to the printer. It prints, you know, it takes 4 to 5 hours to print or, you know, however big the file is. But it literally takes me 10 minutes to work up a case, make a surgical guide for single teeth. For a full arch of teeth, yeah, it's going to take me a lot more time. But the surgical time that's going to save me in the operatory is negligible. It'll take me, you know, an hour to work up the case, something like that for a full arch. But instead of booking myself for 6 hours for a full arch, I'll book myself for like 3 hours or 3.5 hours or something like that.
Are you able to print the, so are you printing like bone supported guides too?
Right. I'm printing bone support. When I do a bone reduction guide, I'll print the mandible. Then I'll print the mandible, what it looks like after the bone reduction. Then I'll print the bone reduction guide. And then I'll print the pilot drill guide.
And you're doing that all digitally?
Yeah. And there's different types of guides you can make. You know, the one is, you know, you slap on this guide on the mandible. You know, you need a full arch flap. Mm-hmm. You slap this guide in and then you reduce the bone. Then you take that guide out and you put another guide in and you do your pilot holes. You take that guide out. Or there's keys that you can use where you do a bone reduction guide, take that out. You put a pilot drill guide in, but that's your one guide for every single drill. You know, you have to have keys.
Yeah.
There's different type. Yeah. You can have keys or there's different kits that you can buy that, the keys are built into, right. They're built into the drills. You know, and I've also done where I just did the pilot, took it out and did the rest of the, surgery free-handed. Are there stackable guides where, you know, you put a bone reduction guide in, you remove whatever bone it is or flatten out the mandible, flatten out the maxilla, and then you snap a guide on top of the bone reduction guide. That's another, that's called a stackable guide. And there's positive and negatives to both of them. Stackable guides are a little bit easier to design, but I'm not as big of a fan. Actually, at that Blue Sky Bio meeting on I didn't lecture on Friday, but on Saturday I gave a lecture on guided surgery for single tooth, multiple teeth, and then full arches, and just kind of shared my experiences. I didn't make a dollar off of it, so I don't really care to promote myself on your podcast.
No, but, you promote all day long.
And so basically, it was just like, you know, this is what I'm doing with single tooth guides. This is what I recommend. This is for multiple teeth, and this is for a full arch of teeth, especially if you want to do a bone reduction. And to be honest, man, they're really not that hard. They really aren't.
No, but see, the thing is that for you, that you've done the surgery so much, you've had so much experience. What it scares me is that kind of like cast metal partials in dental school where, or right now, people just send it to the lab. Lab is like designing the whole partial. I'm thinking if in the future, this whole guide thing is going to become so much more, because lab's going to start doing these printing with the better even printers, and it's going to get worse and worse where people don't really know what they're doing. They're just kind of printing and they're going in. So it's just, to me, I feel, I don't know, scared to like what's going to happen with a lot of these prosthetic coming out or the implants going in.
I see what you're saying. You worry about people who
attention they get to trained details,
well, and they get
like
trained on guided surgery.
For example.
Then if that doesn't work, then they're kind of screwed or whatever.
You know, the nice part about doing digital is, you know, if you send a cast metal partial, which I don't draw my frameworks.
Yeah, I was like, I don't either.
I don't do
partials. No, I don't either. I ask them, but at the same time, I like to know. I'm like, hey, let's talk about this. Where do you want me to put the rest seats? Where do you want me to do that?
That's good. It's more communication.
It just makes it so much easier to not adjust these things, man. Trust me, I worked at Affordable Dentures.
Yeah, you did do a lot of partials there.
You do a lot of partials over there? Hey, by the way, how's the practice, man? I saw your grand opening. Congratulations.
It's good. It's an update.
It's actually good. I am. We're about 120 for the month of May, which I'm happy for. I
mean, he doesn't want to do fillings. That's his problem. I'm like, you're a startup, but you have to put food on the table.
No, okay, so
you
the
don't
way
want to do fillings?
He's like, I don't want to do any
marketing. I'm marketing the practice completely implant dentistry. Like, I'm not even marketing general dentists or new exam or cleaning or free whatever whitening. All I'm doing right now is marketing through implant dentistry, and I'm getting every patient that comes in because I really like to get a general dentist. I have so many rooms and they're all like empty. I really like to get a general dentist to come do these fillings and crowns and a lot of these hygiene checkups, and most of the patients that are coming in, honestly, I'm so booked right now just doing implant dentistry that I never thought I will be. So now I'm getting a spoil to where I'm like, oh, if it's a filling, I'm like, oh, we'll just watch it. Or like,
we'll watch that.
I'm like, it's not worth it, man. Trust me. The other day,
to my cosmetic
the other day, it took me literally 45 minutes to do an MOD.
So frustrating.
And I took it out and I kept doing it because I mean, I want it to be perfect margin. And I'm like, this is horrible. And I'm getting like Paladin and then Garrison. And I'm like, this is horrible. Give me an
throwing bands across the room.
But no, it's good. It's a lot better. I'm getting excited more and more, but I really like to get another dentist to come help me.
I've been getting on him a little bit because I'm like, I was like, until you get off the ground, I was like, you got to be doing that. You know what? What do you think,
Steve? Well, you can call Steve Parks. He might need a couple of days of work. He just opened up down there.
Oh yeah,
right?
I talked to him. He moved to Brentwood.
I heard. I texted him the other day. I said, congratulations.
I don't know where whose office he got, but
he just posted a picture of it. It looks like on the second story, overlooking some lake or something.
Somewhere.
Like
he was nice, but he does some good work.
Yeah, he shows some.
He
really,
does some
really
great
nice
work. Implant Guru on Instagram.
I wonder where he went into.
His follow-up and his photos are impressive.
It is. It's very, very impressive. And I mean, it's hard. And you know, Danny, now I'm sure you get to, right now you're experiencing it more and more. It becomes like a job. that whole posting thing becomes more like, did I post anything today or tomorrow? Like, what am I going to do? Because it's like before it was just so easy. Like, okay, I'm going to have one picture to post. But now it's like, if you don't post, you're going to fall behind the curve because everybody's posting. So it's getting harder and harder based on the schedule. That's why I was telling you, like, I don't know how you have time with all the things you're doing.
I don't know how you have so many followers for only like 86 posts.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
In the thousand. I have like over 100 posts and I'm just shy of 1,000.
You just started though. How many months has it been?
I don't even know.
You worked it though. I mean, you were better about that. Like he's better about like networking and getting people. You know, like I feel like I just post it and hope. You know, and hope I hashtag the right thing or whatever.
Or live feed on your personal.
Yeah, or just live feed on my personal.
By the way, that live feed is going global. Like that whole live Facebook live thing, man, it is become like it's amazing how much you could do. Because right now, a lot of dentists are doing it in their office all day, or they're doing it like question and answer topics with their patients, and it's crazy how it's getting this whole, like I was telling, like technology, man, the Facebook and Instagram live.
Agree, man. Social media and dentistry is going out of control.
Yeah.
All these Facebook groups, like there's like Apnea Today.
There's so many of them.
Or like Dental Masters or Ripe and
Dental Hacks are killing it.
It's kind of crazy.
Dental Hacks are hilarious.
You get on, I don't remember last time I got on Dental Town, honestly. Like
I don't know.
I get on some, but it's always like the same people.
It's funny. Let me tell you a story. Dental Hacks, I was 2 weeks ago on Friday because I used to have these dental groups like our text messaging on with friends, like graduate friends, and we have a group on our iPhone and I used to ask questions there, but then I'm like, well, let me just get on Dental Hacks and post this pathology case that bunch of pictures of this patient that I'm like, shoot, I don't know what this is. Let me just post it. And I posted it in like an hour. I got 90 comments and everybody's giving. I'm like, man, these are so legit because it's like, it's incredible how much. And I'm like, so I start prescribing patient medicine and I'm like, man, look at what is this social media is taking our practice.
I know it's unbelievable. And they're all, I posted a picture of somebody with a denture. She relined it
with the bubble gum.
That was insane.
With bubble gum.
So funny.
Like 5 years before, like Bubblicious bubble gum. And I took a picture of it. And it was like black on the inside, and I posted it.
Oh my God!
There's 150 something comments, and they were all hilarious.
Like that's nuts.
I think 25 of the comments were Ryan Swain making explicit comments.
How would you suggest, obviously being like the membership and AID and whatnot, and how you obviously have a good pulse on a lot of young implantologists, how would you encourage or suggest, or what would the steps that you would like to see people take who are either in dental school or new graduates who are wanting to get into implants? Like, where do you start?
If you're in dental school, I highly recommend doing a general practice residency or AEGD program or doing some type of continuing education after, and then really figure out what you like the most. Do you really, really like endo? Is that what you want to focus your practice on? Or do you really, really like crown and bridge? Or do you really, really like fillings? You know, or you like implants, or you like taking out teeth, you know, and then try during that 1 year to get IV certified. I mean, it's not that difficult to sedate a patient. You just got to have the hours, the patience, and take a couple courses, and you can get trained. And it's so easy and predictable. It's one of the biggest things I do in practice.
It's the best thing I've ever done. Danny, let me tell you, last May. Like, it's actually been 1 year now. And I love it every day. Like every time I do these surgeries with the IV, it's so predictable. And I used to do oral and I hated it because you can never predict how much or what they're going to do or what they're going to cry or scream about. But this whole IV thing, like props, it's been the best thing.
I probably need to do it, especially now that we're doing more implants. We've always done conscious and doing oral, and it, you know, but the majority of what we always did was wisdom teeth. So, you know, it's pretty easy and predictable to sedate a 16-year-old healthy kid, you know.
Right.
Now that we're doing a 65, 70-year-old person and doing 5 implants on 10 medications, I've noticed it's not, like, today, it was like waves. Like, it'd be really good for 30 minutes, and then she'd be, like, wide awake, and it was, like, a tough 10 minutes, and then she'd have to wide awake, and it's kind of ebbs and flows.
That was with the oral sedation, or?
Yeah.
Yeah. You really should look into it. The only place I know of right now is the Western Surgical and Sedation Institute by Dr. Wayland.
Mm-hmm. That's the one I went to.
Is that the one you went to? Really?
Yeah. Do you know John? John, and then what's his name? He's from LSU too.
Is there a big, is it hard, or I guess it's like any learning curve, like running, like doing the surgery, but then like constantly monitoring like the IV and running that?
What Burr said, you know, you can titrate 1 to 2 milligrams here and there until you can see the way the patient reacts. And as they start falling asleep, you know, then you get them numb. They don't feel it. You don't have to put topical, and you can go straight to work. It's onset. It depends on how old the patient is, how much they weigh, but you know, you could probably work for 30, 40 minutes to an hour without ever, you know, pushing more meds. And then once you kind of see them arouse a little bit, you just push a little bit more, just kind of monitor their breathing. That's not that difficult.
What's your max? How much have you done max, Versed or fentanyl?
Is this being recorded live? You know, and I'm glad you said fentanyl.
Hey, I'll give you mine after you
give it. I'll show you mine.
So, it's like, how many carbamazepine you know, septicane have you given someone before? Oh,
it's different. It's, you know, some people can only handle, you know, 5 milligrams of Versed, and they are whacked out for the rest of the day. And, you know, when I was in residency, we didn't dare give over 5 because that's all the patients needed. But now it's totally different, man. And it's only been 10 years since I graduated school, and maybe it's just the area I'm living in. But there's so many patients that take ADHD medications, or they're on anti-anxieties, or they're on antidepressants or something like that. And well, all that interacts with the same, you know, receptors as Versed, and they take a lot to sedate. You know, so 5 milligrams of Versed is not even an induction dose. So it's just different. I'm curious to see where, you know, that's where propofol comes in. You know, it's really nice to have.
Can you guys give that in Louisiana?
We can. It's not scheduled as a deep sedation drug. There's kind of like, it's like a gray area. I don't personally. In fact, I was trained on propofol, so I'm much more comfortable with propofol than Versed. But you know, if I'm going to use propofol, I'd much rather somebody maintain the propofol and then an airway, and then somebody else do the dentistry. So if we ever have a long case over 4 hours, we'll hire a CRNA. She comes and stays the patients for us. She maintains, you know, watches saturation. And Louisiana just changed their laws because now we have to use capnography.
Oh, you guys have to do capnography now?
I know, man.
But I got the practice, I bought a machine that is upgradable.
That's a nice one.
Yeah, it's a $4,000 machine with the capnography. I don't do it though right now because we're in Tennessee. We don't have to do it yet, but I'm sure we have to.
It for kids.
I hope, you know, in those readings, I had a case today where I use it. If you know, you're around the 35 range, you're good. Well, if the patient starts breathing from their mouth, it's not going to read. The alarm goes off. It goes down to 5. You know, that's a false positive. And there's different types of nasal cannulas to deliver oxygen and read the CO2. It's a really peculiar system, and it needs to be a little bit easier, a little bit more streamlined. I'm not a big fan right now. Just because when you're doing IV sedation and you have the patient's mouth propped open, you know they're going to be air breathing, so the capnography is going to be you can be getting false readings all the entire time. So
one of the cool thing I did a couple of weeks ago, I couldn't find veins on this patient. The consultation is when I like look at their vein. I'm like, is it going to be easy or hard? So if it's very hard, and this patient was super hard, old patient, it was just like rolling and soft skin. It's just so hard. So I was like, I hired a nurse for $50, pretty much. I paid her $50. She came in and did the whole IV, and I just walked in, and she was ready to go. And that was neat. But most of the time, especially when I did the, when we had, because I had Matt Yuzerski, Dr. Yuzerski used to come and do oral anesthesiologist that came in and do it. Like, honestly, it made the surgery so much easier when you have somebody else do the IV and you just kind of do in your own thing. But the money that they charge is a whole lot more than what I charge. So a lot of patients opt to do my way, IV, without doing the whole ketamine.
So guys, answer this question for me, because I'm curious. When I graduated dental school, like I said, 10 years ago, everybody was anxious to get into dentistry, you know, get better at prepping crowns, you know, refine their skills at bridges, get better at endo. You know, nobody had a really good grasp on endo. We got out to do it, you know, in an hour, get, you know, pick up their pace, you know, figure out what composites they're going to use in dentistry, because there's so much to know. And then you got the business aspect of dentistry. Right now, there seems to be an incredible push. Graduating dental school, everybody wants to jump into implant dentistry.
No, it's huge. I totally agree.
And so what I'm confused is, and that's great, I have no problem with it, but I mean, some of these people don't know what they're doing in composites. They don't know what they're doing in endo. They don't know what they're doing in crown and bridge, and they're trying to lay a flap and put an implant. So what is the push? Is it a marketing thing? Is that where you guys think it's coming from? Or
the money.
Is that what it is? It's a revenue driven?
I think it's also like the buzzword, right? Like I think that's what everyone wants to do right now. You're right. It's like implants, implants, implants. And, you know, I think it's also glorified a lot by those placing implants. I mean, how often do we say, man, I'd rather place an implant than do an MOD,
right?
You know, because I make more money, it's less time, mm-hmm. less sensitivity, you know, all sorts of things. But that's really a kind of a bad issue or a big issue, because, you know, we're taught we should be going to getting more CE and interpersonal communication, you know, how to communicate with your team, how to like communicate dentistry. And like you said, when I graduated, I didn't know the difference between what I was joking. I didn't know when I went to Hinman the first time, I didn't know the difference between like what do you buy from like Ivoclar, or do you buy from like Patterson or Shine, or like, you know, you don't know any of that stuff, right? Like, okay, well, is this my, like, who is, like, so there, I think you're right. Really, we should be just trying to figure out how to do bread and butter dentistry. And that was actually a big conversation this weekend. I was in Raleigh at T-Bone and Aaron Elliott's Sleep Apnea course. And there were a lot of—
By the way, how was that? Was it good?
Unbelievable. Yeah. I'm telling you, Aaron Elliott is like, that girl is on fire. Like it's really, I mean, obviously I love T-Bone. He's great. He gets you motivation, but the stuff that she's doing with sleep is really, really empowering. It was really awesome for me, just because I really am starting to see, it's starting to think beyond looking at teeth and trying to treat teeth. It's just like, okay, they have this, you know, realizing that there's more systemic stuff going on. You know, just in the past like 2 days since being back, I've already had so many, I had a conversation with this guy this morning. I was like, hey, he had like, you know, severe generalized wear all across his teeth, you know, about 2 millimeters of just wear. And then had a good bit of like that enamel pitting type stuff. You know what I'm talking about? And I was like, hey, you know, and that's probably a patient that comes through recall and we're like, hey, you look good. You've got no cavities. You know, it looks like you're grinding your teeth. Maybe you should wear a night guard, and we move on. You know, so I start talking to the guy and I'm like, hey, you know, you got a lot of wear, you know, that's not normal. You know, how do you sleep at night? You know, do you snore, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you know, I may snore a little bit, but not, I sleep fine. And then, so I said, you know, do you have acid reflux? And he's like, yeah, how'd you know? And I was like, well, you got this kind of like this pitting that's not normal with just traditional, you know, end on end wear. And so then we start talking more. And he's like, well, actually I'm a commercial pilot, so my sleep's really irregular. My wife says I snore, but I only sleep with her, you know, so many nights of the month. And he's like, actually, they were just telling me 2 weeks ago that if I gain 10 pounds, they're going to start putting me on a, you know, monitoring me for sleep apnea. It's really been eye-opening for me, all these patients that we've treated with either night guards, you know, for bruxism and whatnot, who are probably big time have severe apnea and they're fighting to breathe, and that's why they're destroying their teeth. And so it's really interesting, I think, starting to look at some of the systemic causes of what's going on. We actually have we interviewed a guy. Do you know Jason Campbell out of Arizona? Have you met him? He was at Voices of Dentistry, actually.
It was he? Okay.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of like biofunctional dentistry is what he calls it, looking at like the, basically that he kind of says that all either decay,
acidity,
basically inflammation, acidity, and biofunctional habits are what cause tooth problems. You know,
he lectures with Aaron or no?
He doesn't. He has his own kind of place called the Advanced Prosthetic Institute in Prescott, and Arizona. And it's all kind of like a biofunctional approach to, he teaches an implant course, but really looking at like acidity and acid and inflammation and how that causes all this different stuff. Really look, and so it's really been interesting to see like the systemic outcomes. So I'm excited to see kind of where it goes. I'm now like second guessing a lot of the people that I've put in night guards, because I'm like, I'm literally giving them better rooms.
Some of the things you got to buy for these.
So this is kind of, that's a good question. So, you know, the first thing I like
am skeptical about, I think most people are always skeptical about, is like the bite changes, right? Because you're like, all we're doing is getting a mandibular repositioner that brings the mandible forward, brings the tongue forward. It gets everything out the airway so they have a bigger hole to breathe down. And what it tends to do over time is get more of like an end-on-end occlusion or, you know, slight class three. And so she did a really good job kind of like breaking that fear a little bit for me, because that was a huge hurdle, because I was like, and one of the reasons I went to the course, because we've been making probably, we started making appliances for people back in November, but that's been like the thing that I've been treading cautiously with, because I'm like, I don't want to like start jacking people's bites up. And one, she kind of told me that basically the literature says it really only happens like 17% of the time, and that most of the time it happens, you'll find that like the patients don't complain, that for, you know, we've been kind of brainwashed to think that like a class one perfect intercusping occlusion is how everybody should be. And that ultimately the ability to breathe is way more important than
class one
occlusion. So she's like, yeah, some people may end up end to end, but if they're not dying every night, like that's worth it, basically. And a CPAP's always the gold standard as an option, but a lot of people can't tolerate that or don't want that or whatever. So I thought it was really interesting.
I emailed her yesterday and I wanted to come to Lafayette to give a lecture to our study group. We have a local study group of like 35 dentists. It's called Acadiana Southern Society.
Yeah, tell us about that, because I actually want to come in. I think you said November is your next meeting.
Yeah, right. Right now, that's what we have set up in November. But it's a good group, man. It's kind of a funny story how it started out. It was me and five of my best guy friends were all having cocktails one night, and one of them, he's kind of motivated like me, and he was like, man, I want to get a study group together, and I want to get a bunch of dentists here, and I want to promote CE and Lafayette. I want to get everybody to get on the same page, and he's all motivated. And I was like, man, that's hilarious. I said, yeah, we actually do. You know, I had just moved here after doing my residency. You know, I was like, look, I'll help you out with it, but we got to have a really good name. And so, you know, the fourth cocktail into it.
We got to have a really good name. That's awesome.
I was like, why don't we call ourselves Acadiana Southern Society? And the acronym is ASS. And we'll be just a bunch of guys, and we'll all be asses, and we'll meet up once a quarter. And it was a joke, right? We all laughed about it. And like about a week later, I thought about it. It's cracking up laughing. So I get on my computer at work, and I create this logo, which is like a molar tooth with a butt crack on it. And I put, you know, Acadiana Southern Society, and I email blast it to all of them. And I said, our first meeting is in 2 months. And they were dying laughing. And then we wound up getting together. We had a little study group meeting. That was 3 years ago. And now we have 35 members, and it's grown. And we've actually had really good lectures. The name stuck. In fact, I registered the URL, askmembers.com, as a joke. And
no way.
And then all of a sudden, our website was like one of the top hits.
That's hilarious.
That's awesome.
And it was none of my study group guys. And you know, they didn't want to click on the link, because they didn't know what it was. They thought it was, you know, something bad.
Yeah, like, what the heck's Danny sending us?
That's not what I want to do. So took that website down, and now it's just acadianasouthernsociety.com. And, you know, we had Howard Fran came and gave a really good lecture here one time. In fact, you guys need to get him to your town and get a good group together. He's such an awesome guy to hang out with.
Yeah, he did a thing in our school back when we were.
That was fun, yeah.
I forgot. I mean, I missed it, but, you know, but it I heard good. Great I things about him.
Moody came down and gave us a lecture one time.
Moody's been down. A lot of people, I mean, honestly, another thing also I wanted to mention is that other implant in black and white is another one that I like to.
That's what he was saying.
Yeah, and that's another good one.
Okay. So that's the course that we teach at our office.
That's
we teach
a great
twice
one.
A year, one in April, one in November. It's a 2-day course, live surgery in the morning from like 8 a.m. till noon. And then we do a lecture from noon to 5. Our next one's in November. If you want to come right after Saturday, it's gonna be more towards a guided surgery course with mostly full arches. It's not like a
new person wanting to get into them kind of course. It's more of like a advanced course.
You know, I had a guy come to my lecture this weekend who had never placed an implant before in his life, or if he had, maybe he placed one, and at the end of the day, he didn't make a move. He didn't talk the whole entire time. He was just looking at me. You know, when you're talking up for 8 hours and you got somebody staring at you and they're not making any facial emotions or not. I'm like, is this guy really brilliant? Or is he think I'm an idiot?
Is he getting any of this? Or,
yeah. Is he, what's his deal? And at the end of it, I was like, thanks for coming. I really appreciate it. And he goes, I don't even feel like I went to dental school after listening to what you had to say.
That's awesome. That poor guy was,
he goes, you were just over my head. But then I get an email from him the next day and he's like, man, look, I woke up the next morning. That day I went home with my tail between my legs, had a cocktail and passed out. Cause he's like, I was in overload. But he said the next morning, he said, I woke up and then he's like, I got this energy inside myself. And he's like, I'm so excited to, you know, learn more about this. What book should I go read? What do you recommend I do this? And what course should I be taking next? And he's like, you know, the stuff that you were showing was impressive and I really want to be there on that. So even if you don't have any experience and you just want to see what's possible, you're welcome to come. We don't make any money off of it. We donate all the money to a Mexico dental mission trip that I'm taking the LSU dental students on in 2 weeks.
After
Memorial Day. Money we make from there, we write a big fat check, and it goes down to the mission, and it pays for the students, the food, the housing. We pay people to help us organize a trip and, you know, transportation to and from the reservation. They're going to pick us up at the airport in Acapulco, and then we're going to drive us like 2.5 hours into the mountains. And we do dentistry from sunup to sundown because that's when we have light. There's no air conditioning.
That's awesome.
And to run the handpieces, we have a generator that we put in the back of a truck and bring a bunch of diesel, and once the diesel runs out, we lose power and we go back and fill it back up. So it'll be like a 5 or 6 day course, and that's just a thing that clinic's been around for a long time. I went whenever I was in college thinking I wanted to go to dental school, fell in love with dentistry. That's why I got into dental school, and I want to go back and you know, bring a bunch of dentists. So
dude, if you ever need more people to help out with that,
yeah,
let us know. I've been to that. We used to do one at Tennessee for a while. So I've been to Ecuador a couple times doing that. And then it's kind of fallen off the map. I think we should just re-get it. But man, I'd love to go on one of those trips. It'd be fun.
It's intense, man. You pull teeth and you do fillings. And look, I'm taking juniors in dental school, right? They're used to doing a composite class one in an hour. And whenever we get there, it's, you know, two people man up. We have these lawn chairs where the patient lays back in a lawn chair and we have these, you know, makeshift little, you know, hand pieces and everything. And when you got like 100 people lined up outside, I'm like, I don't need to check your prep. Just prep
it. Yeah, look, we do the best we can. Everybody rock and roll. If you need me, call me. I'm over here. Right.
Well, you should do another course where you go back and do implants and all those crowns.
Actually, Howard Ferrand recommended that. He's like, why don't you do blah, blah, blah? And, it, you know, the follow-up is really hard because, you know, that's what's so nice about the implant pathways. What Justin has going on is, you know, he does have follow-up. So he's taking those patients that get coming back and they're getting restored. So the next class, you know, the next class comes in and gets to place implants, but also gets to restore the implants that were placed before. Yeah, so that's what that's a lack. That would be the lack in Mexico is not having that follow up.
Yeah.
And back to your point about that guy becoming, you know, who's kind of like overwhelmed. I think that's one of my favorite parts about CE is that it, when you go to those courses, it really shows you how much you don't know. So like I come back from this course, I'm like, man, what am I going to next? Like, you know, like it really motivates you to keep doing it versus those people who are like, you know, I don't really know if I want to spend the $2,000 to go down there, you know, to get my, it's like, man, you were just missing so out on so much you don't know.
And that's the thing. I signed up for COIS, paid $10,000 for September to just learn the occlusion, the whole pathway, the track one, track two. So I'm excited about that.
And that's what I absolutely recommend that. When I was in residency, and a lot of my friends, I was a CE junkie. I was like, man, go out there and take a course. And man, I can't afford it. Or, you know, I got kids. It's like, look, man. You really got to up your game. And when I was in residency, I didn't have any money, and I would go to COIS. So I took all of COIS's courses.
Oh, you have?
And absolutely, nice. Man. And I like how you guys are doing Spears' course, or it sounds like you guys are.
He is doing
but
it.
But any type of occlusion, that's huge in your practice.
It is. Oh, yeah. It's incredible. I mean, it's so important.
It'll change the way you prep teeth. Oh, absolutely. Change the way you treatment plan. You'll look at the mouth at a whole different angle. You're not going to be a single tooth dentist. Like a lot of my friends are just like, oh, your tooth broke? All right, let's prep it for a crown. Oh, your tooth chipped? Let's do it.
It's like reactive dentistry. Like, yeah.
Right. You got to be proactive and look at the picture. It's like, whoa, you got a lot of wear and tear on those posterior teeth. You know, you got some occlusal issues, some malfunctions. This is how I can fix your occlusion. Maybe we can just do a cool equilibration. Maybe I have to do some crowns. Maybe we have to do a full arch. Maybe I have to put you in a splint. You know, what you mentioned earlier, Sully, was huge, man. I mean, I wish more people would be coming out of dental school looking for a CE like that, you know, and treatment plan and actually treatment plan the patient properly and doing a full workup. And that's adding value to the patient. And that's adding value to your practice. And that's the biggest motivator. When you talk about finances and doing something that's going to really motivate you to make a lot more money in your practice, that is going to make a lot of money. And you feel good about yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if your patient comes
that's the definition of being a super GP, because you're just not doing prepping or doing surgery, implants. You're doing the whole thing, sleep to.
Well, and how much more fun are you having too? Like, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
Like, is it really work for you? Like when you go to work?
Right. So one of my friends prepped 4 veneers in this girl, and 2 of them popped off. So we reused cement, and they popped off again. It's like, well, look, that's the cement's not the issue. It's not your bonding technique. It's not the way you prepped. It's a whole different ball game. You know, she's got
a whole other ball game, dude.
And look, you need to understand that she's got a constricted envelope. Those veneers are not going to work. You have to change her bite. You should have known that from the get go. And then when I explain it to him, it's just like, he's like, well, where did you learn that? I was like, not in dental school.
Yeah, no, exactly. It was pretty funny today. We went and took this, anterior course in Scottsdale for doing anteriors on the C-Rack. And dad's kind of been dabbling doing it. I've been trying to do a bunch of them. And he got 4 today on this guy who, it was one of those cases where like anything was going to be better than what the guy had. Like he could care less. So dad was like, I'm going to do it. It was so funny because normally he would do that case. He would send it to the lab. It'd be great. And he'd be happy. But that would kind of be it. He was literally a giddy kid today at lunch, all pumped about how he did it. He was able to mill them all because we have 2 milling units and get them done and seated in the same day and how pumped he was. And I was like, that's what's cool about it is like, you know, you're 54 and you're still like getting so pumped about what you're doing because you keep pushing it and keep trying to like learn more. Whereas there's so many of like his colleagues who, you know, are like trying to figure out how they can't, like how they get out or, you know, are afraid to hire an associate because they don't know if there's enough work or, you know, it's just so interesting the different directions you go if you stop learning.
Right. And so that's what I would recommend like for millennials that are just graduating, get in CE like that is, you know, get your implant CE, but also get CE like that. There's a lot of good books I also read when I got out of school, like Millionaire Next Door, Good to Great, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. There's so many good books that are timeless and you should absolutely read before you start private practice. And, you know, we get out and we think, you know, you need an MOD because you got a decay that's touching the dentin. And, you know, it's like you got to talk a different way to patients and make them understand their disease of caries and how you can fix them. It's just going to make your life a lot better and financially you'll do a lot better.
Man, this has been awesome.
Thanks for this podcast, man.
Incredible because you're like, I mean,
I love talking to you, dude. You get me
talking. Yeah, talking to Danny is always kind of, he's so full of energy. He's so full of energy, and I love his cases. Everything he does is just so much motivational. Like, I mean, he's only been out of school for 10 years, too. But, I mean, but at the same time, you look at his work, and you're like, man, this guy is incredible. So thank you for being one of my mentors, man.
Sully, real quick, props to you. Because of you, I started doing the Google.
Yes.
What's that company?
Best local reviews.
That's what's so cool about CE is because sometimes you go to these courses and like I didn't really get a lot of that course whenever I went there, but I met Sully. We all hung out there that one time and chatted it up a little bit, and it was I had stopped taking CE for a while, and then because I was like, look, I got to focus on my practice, build my brand, and you know, pay down some debt because you know CE is expensive, and I don't want to spend all my money on CE and traveling. I'm being away from my wife, my daughter, and let me focus on building my name and practice. And then you know, then I turned around, I was like, golly, I hadn't been in a CE course in a year and a half. I was like, all right, well, let me go to Nashville and I'll take a course. Ran into you guys, ran into Corey. real good friends with Corey. Corey's teaching the course with us in November, actually.
Oh, nice.
So, Sully, you need to come down too.
I do, man.
All day Friday, all day Saturday. It's gonna be. We're gonna have a lot of cases. We usually place, you know, 40 to 50 implants, and the patients that come into our practice that can't afford implants, what we do is say, look, we got these dentists coming in. They're gonna, you know, it's a learning experience for them. We either do their case for nothing, or we give them a humongous discount so they can afford it. You know, it's a lot. Implants are expensive. We have a lot of patients that really want implants, and they're good people. They work 40 hours
sure,
a week.
Yeah.
So those patients come in, we do their implants. I even had some implant companies, you know, give us their implants so we could place them.
That's a great topic for today too. Is like why coming back and like doing that and finding cases like that, because some people don't want to, like, they're like, I don't want to give away anything for free. I'm like, man, I would give away 10 implants because that's 10 implants I get to learn on, you know, like.
Exactly. And you know what? You know what's built my practice? That course.
Yeah.
That lady who is a teacher who I gave away, you know, I didn't charge her a nickel, and I did 4 implants on top, 4 implants on bottom, upper and lower implant supported orbital dentures. She, you know how many patients she's referred here to my practice? And it's amazing, you know, and so anyway, at that course in November, it's going to fill out. We're going to do a guided course. We're going to have some printers. We're going to be 3D printing our guides. Corey's going to be here lecturing on full arches, and we're going to touch on single teeth. But after on Saturday, we're all going to go fishing.
Oh, nice.
Fishing.
Okay, so yeah, where can people find out about this stuff? How do they get in touch with you? Give you a little
bit. Let's see. Facebook group. It's Implants in Black and White. Then if you want to look at the course information, I think it is,
we can put it up our notes too on the website.
And then, and if people are interested, Danny is the membership chair, right? For AID. Yeah.
AID.
And I'm the president of the membership committee. So if y'all have questions about the AID, just shoot me an email. And the website is implantsblackwhite.weebly.com. You can check out, there's a video on there that explains it. You can, you know, sign up on the website to come to the course.
And the AID symposium too this year. Are you going to be there, San Diego?
I'll be there.
That's
are you
cool.
going?
I signed up too. Cool. I'll be there. Yeah, I'll be there, San Diego. It's in October.
Cool, guys. Hey, look, if y'all come down here, we'll podcast live.
We need to do it. What are the dates again?
November 10th and 11th, Friday, Saturday.
Danny, always good to talk to you, brother.
All right, boys.
Thanks, man.
Good luck with the podcast. Great job.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.